President Trump welcomes the new president of South Korea to the White House tonight. You remember there was a snap election after the last president left in a scandal. Moon Jae-in arrives as tensions on the Korean Peninsula escalate, North Korea boasting of soon having a nuclear-armed missile that can reach the U.S. Sung-yeon Lee is professor of Korean studies at the Fletcher School at Tufts. He joins us now. Professor Lee, welcome.
Thank you.
So President Moon, the new South Korean president, was said to be more aligned with a previous president's sunshine policy toward the North and North Korea. Start there. What was that? And where does President Moon stand on North Korea, probably the most important issue?
The moniker sunshine policy comes from one of Aesop's fables. The sun and the north wind have a contest to see who's stronger, who can get the man on the street wearing a heavy winter coat to take it off. The wind huffs and puffs, the man holds on to his coat, the sun beams his warm rays and gets the man voluntarily almost to take it off. The idea behind it was through engagement, generous aid, and gradual reform, South Korea sought to change North Korea. This policy was in place between 1998 and 2008. The jury is still out on it, but I think a lot of people feel that that kind of unconditional aid, no questions asked, billions of dollars in aid, did not get very far.
And certainly President Trump would not be a sunshine policy kind of guy. So what's your anticipation of how the two might square that, or if they'll even bring it up? Some are saying that there may not be policy discussions.
A summit meeting, especially one among between allies, are usually routine, somewhat prosaic affairs. There are pronouncements of reaffirmation of the alliance, ironclad, and so forth. But underneath this particular meeting, there is some tension. And I think it's quite likely that there might be some frosty moments. It might not be at summit meeting just overflowing with bonhomie. Why? Because there have been such tense meetings between U.S. president and South Korean president just 2 years ago. Park Geun-hye, who was recently removed from office, Ms. Park, she visited President Obama in October 2015, and she was one with true bona fides when it came to South Korea's support for the United States and also her less than favorable view of North Korea, the communist regime. However, because Ms. Park had attended a major Chinese weapons parade celebration on the occasion of the 70th anniversary of China's purported victory over Japan in early September 2015, which was attended by various dictators of the world, President Obama admonished President Park and said, "When China breaks international norms and rules, I expect South Korea to call China out on that." Why? Because post-war international norms and rules have been very good for South Korea. So I think, you know, with the unpredictable nature of President Trump and also what's known of President Moon, that he tends to be somewhat more favorably disposed toward North Korea, we can expect a little bit of tension.
Well, there's also tension, we understand, over the anti-missile system that the U.S. recently installed in South Korea. The U.S., of course, has American troops stationed there. This anti-missile system was said to be to protect them from a possible attack by North Korea. But China's not very happy about that. They think it might be used offensively against them. So talk a little bit about how that might come up.
Yes, that's a crucial issue because this sophisticated U.S. anti-missile defense system called THAAD, it's been controversial. Moon Jae-in, President Moon's special advisor, just 2 weeks ago in Washington said that THAAD was primarily intended to protect U.S. troops in South Korea, suggesting that it didn't apply to the defense of South Korea or South Koreans, which is somewhat absurd. And this has been a useful gambit to President Moon in the run-up to his election victory because it was a way to placate China, which is strongly opposed to South Korea's deployment of THAAD, and also it was a way to send a signal to North Korea that he would be amenable to re-engaging North Korea in dialogue. And I think for President Trump, he may be willing to bend more, make concessions on economic issues, but when it comes to the lives of U.S. troops, I don't think he's willing to compromise.
Yeah. Professor, President Trump has done a lot of chest thumping towards North Korea. What's your sense of how South Korea feels about that? What might they welcome? You know, maybe even a military confrontation with North Korea? Or is that the last thing they want, given the horrendous war you know, they all went through. What's your sense?
South Korea is in a very difficult position, of course. It has to sort of coexist with North Korea. And in truth, no one wants a war. Chest thumping, show of force, these are necessary aspects of sending a strong message of deterrence both ways. At the same time, chest thumping without real policy doesn't get you very far. I don't think there's a strong, high possibility of the United States using military force against North Korea anytime soon, for the very simple reason that it's never been tried since the end of the Korean War in 1953. We know that North Korea is no Syria, is no Iraq, is no Afghanistan. They have the intent and the capability to shoot back, and that's been a strong deterrent for the U.S. and South Korea.
Sun-Yung Lee, Professor of Korean Studies at the Fletcher School at Tufts. Professor Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.